Hearty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports. Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The 17th FIBA Basketball World Championship for Women tips off Saturday in Turkey. Angola and Mozambique will be dribbling the ball for Africa at the 16-team tournament. Let's take a quick look at their opening games on Saturday. Angola will go against Serbia in Istanbul, while Mozambique will meet Canada in Ankara. On Thursday night, I appeared via Skype on Nigeria's Channels Television on their Sports Tonight show. My channel's friend, Toyin Ibitoye, asked me about the USA team in Turkey, and I told Toyin the American girls have to be considered a favorite for the gold medal. They're both the reigning world and Olympic champion in women's basketball. However, as I mentioned to Toyin, France, which lost to the USA by 36 points in the 2012 Olympic gold medal game in London, recently proved that the American girls are beatable. 5 days ago, France edged the USA 76-72 in an exhibition game played in Paris. It was the first loss for the USA women's team since 2011, when they were beaten by the Czech Republic. And I want to give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for two of the veteran players on the USA women's team in Turkey, Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, who both play professionally in the Women's National Basketball Association, or WNBA. I met Bird at the 2012 London Olympics. She's a three-time Olympic champion, and she's the first American player to be named to four, count them, four USA World Championship teams. Meanwhile, Diana Taurasi recently won her third WNBA title with the Phoenix Mercury. A five-time WNBA scoring champion, Diana also was named Most Valuable Player of the WNBA Finals earlier this month. Her Mercury club swept the Chicago Sky 3-0. The USA women's basketball team will begin defense of its world title on Saturday when they play China in Istanbul, Turkey.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You need to get to the net. Thanks, Dikembe. Joining us once again from Johannesburg is our African football guru, David Legg. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Sammy, and good evening to all the football lovers around the continent.
David, if you can open your mailbag now, any interesting comments recently from our Voice of America listeners?
Yes, Sonny, the mails keep coming in, and one that I was particularly interested in was from Paul Olise, and as his name suggests, he's a great Nigerian football fan. And Paul's question is very straightforward. He says that I should elaborate on why CAF ranks Ivory Coast ahead of Nigeria. Now, let me just quickly explain to Paul that, of course, it's FIFA that do these rankings from the results that come in. And in all fairness, Paul, Ivory Coast, they've been doing better lately than Nigeria. I know they lost heavily in Cameroon, but they did beat Sierra Leone. Nigeria, on the other hand, have made a poor start to the Cup of Nations qualifiers, beaten at home by Congo Brazzaville and held away by South Africa, a team they normally wallop. If we look at the rankings, Sonny, the top 10, Algeria are first, Ivory Coast are second, Tunisia are third, Ghana fourth, and Senegal fifth. Nigeria, the defending African champions, are sixth. Well done to the Cape Verde Islands. More about them in a minute. They're seventh. Cameroon, eighth. Guinea, nine. And Burkina Faso, 10. Now, Cape Verde have risen a staggering 33 places. And obviously, that's got a lot to do with their away win over Niger and their home win over Zambia in Cup of Nations qualifiers. On the other hand, Egypt, down in 13th place, they have plummeted 23 positions. And again, I believe the reason, pretty straightforward. They lost away to Senegal and at home to Tunisia in Cup of Nations qualifiers. A little bit sad to see Sierra Leone, Sonny. They're down 25 places. And again, it's the Nations Cup results. Because of Ebola, they can't play matches at home. They lost in Ivory Coast. And then what should have been a home game against DR Congo turned into an away fixture, and they lost that as well. Another side rising considerably are Congo Brazzaville. They're in 11th place. They've risen 30 positions, and the reason for that is, once again, Paul, if you're listening, obvious. They won in Nigeria, and then they won at home to Sudan. I mentioned the top 10, Sonny. Let me quickly run through 11 to 20. 11 is Congo, 12 Mali, 13 Egypt, 14 South Africa, 15 Libya, 16 DR Congo, 17 Sierra Leone, 18 Benin, 19th Uganda, and 20th Gabon. VOA!
David, if our VOA listeners have a football-related question for you, can you give us your email address?
Yes, certainly, Sonny. It's david.legg, and leg is spelled L-E-G-G-E. At AFP, that's agencefrancepresse.com. So I'll just repeat that one more time. It's david.legg, L-E-G-G-E, at AFP.com. And we'd love to hear from you.
We would love to hear from our listeners. So if you have a question for David, soccer or football related, please send it to him and we will try to read your question on the air.
Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world.
Game on, VOA sports fans. Just ahead, VOA's Downtown Brown will have our English Premier League football question of the week.
Hey, this is VOA's Downtown Brown, and I'm back again with question of the week. The question was, do you think Diego Costa will top the 27 league goals he scored when he played for Spain's Atletico Madrid last season? We had a well amount of responses who gave great opinions to tell you, like Ebenezer Michael Diversion from Nigeria, who said, fingers crossed, but it seems most likely. And Shabego De Stryker from Nigeria also, who said, I'm a diehard Chelsea fan, and I see Diego Costa scoring more than 28 goals if he remains fit. And a lot of other people who responded to the question said the same thing. If he remains fit and healthy, he can achieve it. In the 5 games he played so far, he has already scored 7 goals. Soccer news. The famous Cristiano Ronaldo scored 4 goals in a single match over the weekend, which gives them 7 goals so far. Manchester City lost 5-3 to Leicester City with a 3-1 goal lead. And games to watch over the weekend: Liverpool versus Everton, Chelsea versus Aston Villa, Arsenal versus Tottenham. And check your local listings for the time. Injured news: Ramirez from Chelsea injured his groin, and we'll keep you up to date on the recent injuries and stories on facebook.com/VOASunny. Soccer news: remember the date. Remember it. October 25th is when Real Madrid is playing against Barcelona. Check your local listings for the time. That's all the time I have. Thanks for leaving your comments. And be sure to catch our question of the week on Tuesday on facebook.com/VOASunny. I'm VOA's Downtown Brown. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Let's give another sunny side of sports shout out for Audrius Regis, my Voice of America engineer this evening. Audrius working the boards with his customary excellence. Kick it, Audrius.
Kick it.
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
Thanks, Joe. That's Joe DiCapua, the managing editor of our Africa News Tonight radio show. And you can hear another edition of Africa News Tonight immediately following the sunny side of sports at 1800 UTC. Turning to athletics, the 41st BMW Berlin Marathon will be staged Sunday morning in the German capital. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with two of the top contenders for the men's title, both from Kenya. Here's Andy.
We're talking with Emmanuel Mutai of Kenya, one of the strong contenders for the BMW Berlin Marathon on Sunday. And especially for someone who's run so many marathons, been such a top name for quite a while, this is his debut in Berlin. Emmanuel, first of all, just how have things been going? You know pretty much a lot about your rivals, including Dennis Kimeto, also from Kenya. But how have things been going for you in terms of your preparation for Berlin?
For me, the training was going on well. So I'm hoping to perform well on Sunday as far as concerned. But, you know, this is my first time to be in Berlin, so I'm hoping for the best.
Do you do much homework about the course? Everybody says Berlin is a fast course, and clearly the performances, the world records there have shown that. But do you like to hear about the course and study it?
For me, yes, sometimes good, but when times is there. But what is most important is the preparation you have done. So, because sometimes always, if you are prepared well, so you don't mind about what about the course, but you know that the course is faster. So if you want to be the fastest, you have to be run faster also.
The course record also happens to be the men's world record, because Wilson Kipsang broke that 12 months ago. I suppose it's a question that always gets asked, but do you go into a race thinking, well, look, this is really fast, could I get close to that, or are you really looking at winning?
For me, you know, you have when we come here, we come for winning, but also when you want to win, so you have to run faster. So if we would be able to meet that target, it always would be better for me.
You've run against Dennis Kimeto before, say in Chicago. What have you learned from your previous races against Dennis, for example?
For me, maybe now you know what matters is the shape you are at the moment. So, you know, now I cannot compare last year and this year because might be the difference between me and Dennis. But for me, I'm looking to run good.
You're very consistent as a marathon runner. When we see the name of Manuel Mutai on the start list, we think, you know, chances are he's going to run well. If he doesn't win, it's going to be a top three. Is there any great secret or preparation that you do that makes you so consistent? Because some other runners can do very well one day, and then you know another day they're really well down. How come you're so consistent?
For me, you know, when you are in competition, when you lose for the first, so you don't lose for the second, and that, so you have to fight for the to get in the podium. So for me, I see the most important. If you don't win the race, just to be in the podium. So that is what making me to be in that category. So I keep on fighting for what I want to achieve.
Yes, I mean, you're someone I've seen you in some races where. You may not be going to win, or you may later sort of perhaps have a leg trouble or leg problem or something, but you're still in there fighting, whereas some runners would be just, well, either not finishing or going back down the field. But you hang in there.
Yeah, you know what I've been learning in marathon is you have to be more perseverant in terms of the training. So what I do normally... So if I had a problem, so I don't want to go out, so I let me try my best what I can achieve, and that is will be at least better because, you know, sometimes when you drop out or you go back, so maybe in that after the race you might get disappointed for what you wanted on that day, you could not get it. But when you achieve something, you see I had a problem, but I've tried my best.
Well, that's interesting and very concise philosophy from Emmanuel Mutai of Kenya. Wish you all the best for the BMW Berlin Marathon on Sunday, Emmanuel. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Voice of America.
We're talking with Jeffrey Kamoror, who is the world half marathon champion. He won that title in March in Copenhagen, but we are on German soil and in the capital of Berlin for the BMW Berlin Marathon this coming Sunday. Jeffrey, you're a well-known face in Berlin. You won the half marathon here a couple of years ago, then you've been twice in the top three in the marathon. Do you feel kind of at home when you come to Berlin?
Okay, for me, I feel proud coming back to Berlin because I've been here five times. This is my fifth time. And this time I'm focusing to run Berlin Marathon and win because I've been third two times.
It's probably cliche to say that the Kenyans always seem relaxed before a race, but you seem extra relaxed and you're smiling and you're sort of very relaxed in your body language. Do you feel capable of really running a very special performance? I mean, your best is just outside 2:06, you've twice been third here. Do you think you can do better than that?
Okay, for me, I'm much confident that I can do more better than the last 2 years because I'm much prepared. I prepared well. Everything has been going on well, and I'm looking forward on Sunday to do my best, but I'm confident I can do, yeah.
Are there any differences in your preparation now compared to, well, 2-3 years ago when you came on the scene, you'd won the World Junior Cross Country title, then you won the Berlin Half Marathon. Has your training changed?
Okay, my training, I did a lot of more advanced long runs than the last 2 years. My workouts has been different from last year, a bit different, because so far I used to follow more instructions from the coach, and now that I feel I'm okay and relaxed for Sunday.
Does that mean, is that a hint that maybe you plan your training more and then you go to the coach for extra advice, or when you say it's changed a bit?
No, I normally go to extra advice from the coach, and he has been giving me more advices on running marathon, and I put on practice, and I'm eager on Sunday to see how I can do.
And of course, you're 2 or 3 years older than that youngster, that teenager who won the World Junior Cross Country title. Is it also a question of the training? You're growing, you're getting stronger. You're at that age, at what, 22? That the training, you'll naturally get stronger.
Yeah, for me, growing also makes me to grow stronger. Yeah, because for me, I have more experience because this is my fifth marathon. So I feel that I'm gaining a lot.
Do you set yourself a time or a place as a target, or maybe both, for Sunday?
Okay, for me, I'm targeting to win, but after winning, automatically the time will come.
That certainly makes sense. Geoffrey Kamoro of Kenya, best of luck in the BMW Berlin Marathon on Sunday. Thank you, Geoffrey.
Okay, thank you.
The energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with the top American female running Sunday in Berlin. Once again, here's Andy.
I'm talking with Shalane Flanagan, who's in Berlin. In fact, she's been in Berlin for quite a few days, so she's almost a Berlinerin. Getting to know the course for the BMW Berlin Marathon 2014 and aiming for the big one, the American record of Dina Kaster, hoping to take almost 2.5 minutes off Shalane's best time to break that record. Impressive the way you've come here early. That was all part of a long-term plan to get to know the course as well as the whole feel of the city?
Yeah, I think every athlete is different, but I seem to thrive off of knowing my surroundings and knowing how much further I have to the finish and having a few cues to kind of motivate me. So I wanted to be well-adjusted, have no problem with the time change. But on top of that, I like to do my homework and prepare for the test. And my test is going to be on Sunday. And I feel like if I'm trying to run as fast as I can, I want to leave no stone unturned. And that means knowing the course.
Not only knowing the course, you used an interesting word just now. I heard you say callousing your body after mile 19. Because, of course, you're a noted track runner. You're American record holder at 10,000 on the track. How hard was that to get yourself used to running faster over the last few miles?
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, the marathon distance is challenging in and of itself, no matter how fast you're running. So I'm hoping to find a good blend with my track background, transition it to a marathon. We'll see how it goes. But I put in a lot of the endurance work as well as a little more speed than I have. I've really forced myself to work hard to try to run faster over the distance. And this will be my sixth marathon, so I feel like I have some good gauge of how to run the marathon a little bit better. So we'll find out. But yeah, anything can happen after mile 20. So I'm hoping to run even splits, and then maybe, you know, over if I'm feeling good over the last 6 miles to negative split. But it's very hard to do.
Yeah. Is it an incentive that you have? Well, looking in particular at three very good Ethiopian women in the race. I mean, there's talk that a quartet of women, including you, want to run sub 2:20.
Yes, it's kind of nice to have some company with the same goal, because I think it will keep the accountability to the task at hand with trying to run so fast. We'll have some male pace setters, which will help to get us going, and I think it's nice to have similar goals out there.
You were making the point in previous interviews in the run-up to Berlin that, well, you could have gone elsewhere for a marathon and perhaps been, and also, you know, forgoing some of the track season. I don't say financial sacrifice, but in terms of you had to make a long, hard decision. What are the reasons for coming to Berlin in particular?
Yeah, I mean, we all have personal goals that are meaningful to us. And sometimes I think, yeah, there are sacrifices to be made, but if the outcome is achieving that moment that you want, it's all worth it in the end. So I didn't want to have any regrets. I don't like regrets very much. And with my career, I wanted to take the chance to really try to give myself a chance to run a fast marathon. And we know that Berlin just has record-setting type course. So I'm hoping that translates for me. So yes.
You've had a chance to look around Berlin and get to know the course. I mean, I know some runners I've heard say, oh, they don't want to know the course, but I'm very well aware that in Berlin and elsewhere, people like Haile Gebrselassie have been meticulous, dare I say, like you, in knowing just about every step of the way. Do you feel that psychologically is a big part in your build-up?
Yeah, I think every athlete is different, but I do know for me over the last 10 miles, I need some visual cues to keep me excited and motivated and familiarize myself. But some people just don't want to know, but I like to be able to monitor how much gas I have in the tank to make sure I get to the finish and finish it appropriately. And so I'm just a student of the sport, and I enjoy learning courses. I think it's a fun part of my job, to be honest. I think that, you know, there's some beautiful courses around the world, and I think it would be a shame to not really get to know it a little bit. So
it's interesting you say that, because, okay, for, shall we say, the mass runners, people who are a lot slower than you, these days, they certainly do. Some of them take in the sights, but you tend to think the elite, you're kind of, you've got that inner clock, and is it just like a psychological reference? Well, obviously, Brandenburg Gate, you know you're near the finish, but earlier, did you still need that?
Yeah, I feed off of the energy of the crowd, and knowing on the course, you know, I got a few tips where it's going to be some good crowds and not to get too excited, but I think I'll just use it as fuel and motivation to keep me going and to maybe ignore some of the signs of fatigue and use the energy that's coming off the streets when I'm tired. So I just think it allows for a much more fun experience in the end.
Fun experience, and we hope a successful experience. Great. Thanks, Shalane Flanagan. We hope you add a very special marathon to your athletics resume, and also the people on the streets of Berlin see some fine women racing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Shalane Flanagan, the top American female runner in Sunday's 41st BMW Berlin Marathon. And Shalane was talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in the German capital. In more athletic news, USA Track and Field has submitted a bid to make the northwestern U.S. city of Eugene, Oregon, one of three contenders to host the 2019 IAAF World Championships. The two other cities bidding to stage the World Championships are Doha, Qatar, and Barcelona, Spain. The International Association of Athletics Federations, or IAAF, is scheduled to announce the winner on November 18th. Now, the United States has never hosted the competition. Eugene, however, was the venue for the IAAF's World Junior Championships in July. Eugene is also, along with New York City, one of the two American stops on the IAAF's Diamond League circuit. The USA's Olympic Committee Chief Executive Scott Blackman told Reuters that having the World Championships in Eugene would help build the sport of athletics here in the USA, and he's very hopeful the IAAF will look favorably on the bid. Reuters reports, however, that Eugene will need to double the size of its Hayward Field Stadium to win the bid. The stadium currently has an expandable seating capacity of about 21,000. The report says Eugene will also have to secure more housing to win the event. According to the Oregonian newspaper, the IAAF says organizers of the World Championships need to be ready to accommodate 2,000 athletes from more than 200 countries, as well as 10,000 officials and volunteers, and 3,000 members of the media. Last year's IAAF World Championships were staged in Moscow, Russia. The 2015 championships will be held in Beijing, China, which also hosted the 2008 Olympics. And the 2017 championships will be staged in London, the 2012 Olympic host. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Audrius Regis for his technical support of the program. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.